This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in. A special thank you to Lynchburg's 89.9. And let me thank L. Oppelman's for their support today. L. Oppelman's holiday sales event going on now with offers on Fender electric guitar packages. They have drum kits and acoustic guitars. L. Oppelman has violins, banjos, mandolins, other music accessories, as well as offers on jewelry brands like Tiffany & Company and Rolex. You can find the right gift downtown at L. Oppelman, 909 Main Street in Lynchburg. All right. I appreciate you checking us out today because I think we have a pretty interesting gift. I never know exactly who is going to show up in terms of the type of people. We've picked the topic, and sometimes I know the guest who's coming in. But in this case, I haven't met these people before. And so a little chat before we started gives me an idea. But it's not always the topic, it's the type of person who gets me excited about who's coming on. So as we talk about the Live Arts Theater here in Charlottesville, we have folks who are representing not just live arts, but a different genre than we, many of us, get to see or get to participate in. And I'm interested to talk about theater, some conversations about live arts, but specifically about theater and entertainment, not just in Charlottesville, but in our listening area altogether. So let's introduce the guests today. Over here on one end, we have Will Rucker. Will, how are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having us.
Well, I appreciate not everybody shares their early Sunday mornings with us. Leslie Baskfield.
Good morning.
And to you as well. And Julie Hamburg.
Good morning.
I appreciate the three of you coming in. Once again, we will be talking with these folks. Julie is the Live Arts Artistic Director. And Julie, what is that? How does that differentiate from the CEO or the president of the company, et cetera, than for other businesses?
Well, I am the artistic leader of the theater. I choose the seasons, and I make sure that all the productions happen. And so I help the artistic life happen at the theater.
Here in the middle, we have Leslie Baskfield. Leslie, you participate in presentations done by Live Arts Theater, but one of your specific interests is with a group called Melanin, correct?
Correct.
And I don't want to get too deep into that because that's part of our questions further along. And Sean McCord, if you'll help, that microphone needs to be a lot closer to Leslie without her having to bend over if it can. You have to reduce your aura when you're on the program. You know, really, really get that set and going. And while we do that, we'll talk with Will Rucker. Will, you work with the teenage group, correct?
Yeah, most recently and currently.
And currently. Latte. I love the name. What does that stand for again?
Latte is the Live Arts Teen Theater Ensemble.
Live Arts Teen Theater Ensemble. Sean, there's just not any options. You're going to have to crank that thing down so it's right in front of...
It actually fell apart.
Oh, well then let's use microphone number two, which means that Leslie will have to really pull forward and scrunch in her knees. All right, so we'll get with Leslie in just a moment. Like now. How's that?
Now is great.
Ooh, see, excellent. That's what we like, equipment. Which is
that
why
works.
You should always make time to donate to WNRN during our spring and fall fund drive. Leslie, I want to get, but you, and I'm going to ask some questions later about Melanin, but this is a separate group within Live Arts Theater, correct?
Yes, we're working in collaboration with them.
And are you in other ways involved with Live Arts?
Yes, I've done shows at Live Arts before.
As a director and?
As an actor.
As an actor. Do we use actor or actress?
I use actor. I don't feel the need to to put my gender in there.
All right, so I'm going to throw this first question out to Julie. Julie, we've got people listening from all regions of WNRN, mm-hmm. and then some who are listening online. I want to know why theater is so important that we need to have an hour discussion here on WNRN.
Well, first, there are few entertainment opportunities that are quite as electric, I guess, as alive as, first of all, experiencing live theater. As soon as you sit down to experience theater, there is a crackle, and there is a excitement, and you enter a world that you don't enter anywhere else, and it can be a transformative experience. I know that I have had transformative experiences, things that I have learned and certainly felt in the theater that I have not had anywhere else. And that feeling that one gets when one experiences theater, you can't have watching a film. You sit back in a film and you don't participate. When you're in theater, just sitting in your seat, you can be transported. So that's what I would say.
Is that, I mean, I understand, as someone coming from the theater group of entertainment, whether it's music, film, and others. But as someone who wants to know more about it, you can go to a film now and watch in 3D.
Yes, true. Mm-hmm.
You can go to a concert, and are you not participating when those who get up and dance, when you get up, stand and you clap, when you sing along? What's the difference that makes theater electric as composed to those other examples?
Well, there you are absolutely participating when you're seeing a dance concert or when you are dancing to a band, absolutely. But I think the difference is the emotional connection and the learning experience, and I almost mean a spiritual learning experience. What do you guys think? Leslie, what do you think?
Well, I think it's also the difference between seeing a live concert, actually sitting in the seat and watching a band play for you live, and watching a recorded concert on HBO. I mean, that's the difference. I mean, when you watch, like, Garth Brooks live, you know, that big double album movie, basically, that he did, watching it on HBO was fun, you know, if you like the music, and if you, you know, like his character and his charisma. But if you were actually in that seat, that is a completely different experience, and it's transformative for you in a different way.
And you'll probably never forget that experience.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And Will, what do you think?
Well, I often kind of fear that as theater people, we're a little more conscious of the power of the audience than the audience may be. And I always kind of think of something I learned very early on from a theater teacher who pointed out that you can turn on the VCR and it would play all night and play all night, whether you're in the kitchen getting a snack or you've gone to the bathroom. And theater people are kind of wacky enough that we would probably do it in an empty room, but it would be sort of flat. I mean, so you can watch a movie in 3D, but I think in live theater we've got this fourth dimension that's very changeable.
And I love that. See, there you go. That answers my question, is the fourth dimension. That answers it for me anyway. That puts the concept in my head that I needed to understand that better. So is there sort of a lightning bolt that struck each of you that made you say, this is what I want to do? This is the entertainment that I want to get into, Will?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think across the board, you'd be hard pressed to find someone who didn't have an experience or a series of experiences. I know the first thing I did was in middle school, and you know, not that particular experience changed my life forever, but it certainly does. It is a bug you catch and sort of then continues to germinate, I think, for many years.
60 seconds to tell me what that was.
It was playing The Ghost of Christmas Present in A Christmas Carol. How seasonally appropriate.
That's beautiful.
Leslie, tell me about your moment.
My moment was actually my freshman year in high school, and my best friend was doing props for the fall musical at my high school. It was Pirates of Penzance. And for those of you who don't know that show, it is absolutely hysterical. It's about a pirate that falls in love with a general's daughter and basically woos her and tries to get her. Zaniness ensues. She was doing props and basically dragged me along, and that was it. I mean, the people there were so infectious. I mean, they were just warming and welcoming, and you know, it was a family that I wanted to be part of, and that was it.
I think that is true. That is part of one of the reasons that people get into theater is the incredible warmth and welcome that one generally finds among theater people. I think that's part of the kind of lightning bolt is when you get into theater, you're like, wow, this not only is it incredibly fun, but these people are fascinating,
right?
And sometimes odd, but usually oddly fascinating.
Well, one of the things that comes across to me is if you're in the music scene,
mm-hmm.
there's certainly a smaller, more local group. If you are in film, if you are in sports, you can feel the same warmth, but there is always a large part of competition involved. And when you are in theater, my understanding is, and again, I haven't done anything since high school, it's more of a family atmosphere until you get so much further up that then there is some competition, but mostly self-driven. Rather than against the person across the room. Is that true, or am I mistaking that and
no,
putting
that's
that together
exactly,
myself?
That's exactly right. I mean, because when you band together with a group of people to create something, it's all collaborative, and everybody is working towards the same goal. So there isn't a feeling of, oh, I've got to be better than this, or I've got to be better than that person. It's we've got to make this project the best that we can make it. We are presenting something, and this is what we want out of it. So we're all working towards one goal.
We're talking about theater here with Julie Hamburg, Will Rucker, Leslie Baskfield, all from the Charlottesville Live Arts Theater. Conversations about live arts. We're going to be getting into what some of their presentations are and some of their productions ongoing now and different subgroups, is that the best way to put it?
Sure.
But let me take a moment and thank Blue Ridge Graphics for their support at WNRN today. You can find Blue Ridge Graphics at Meade Avenue and East High Street here in Charlottesville. They provide custom t-shirts and sportswear, plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics. Dial them at 434-296-9746 online, brgt-shirts.com. A quick question, and I'm going to start with Leslie. People always look up and go, me? Theater, as well as it might be fun and family from the inside, from the outside, it's also expensive to go see a program, or at least for many, and we'll get into sort of the Central Virginia Theater Project and mention some of the others, but to go to live arts, it was $20 almost per ticket. How do you compete against movies in that manner? Discretionary income is a lot less than it used to be.
True. And I think that makes the choice to go to see live theater easier. Because it is so collaborative, because you do get so much more out of it. Going and sitting in a movie theater to watch something that you know is going to be on Blu-ray or DVD or on Netflix in 6 months, you know, that's, to me, that's not a great use of money. But going to see a live performance that literally is going to be different every single night for every single audience in some way, shape, or form is a better way to spend your time and your money, because that's an experience that is personal to you, that that no one else but you can have. And that's worth $20 to me.
And I would put in that one of the things that Live Arts does is on Wednesdays, on the Wednesday performances, we do a pay what you can. And that means that whatever your resources that you can put toward seeing that show, then that's what you pay that night.
Am I going to get the ugly look if I give $5?
Absolutely not. Because
are you sure?
Absolutely, because we want people to come and participate in live arts, and that means come see a show. It's a beautiful thing. If you can give a dollar, that would make us very happy. It's like when we talk about donations to public radio. We love any donation you can make because it's helping us survive. And any donation you can make to Live Arts in that same way on that Wednesday, it is, you're valuing theater, but we also want you to see the show.
Well, I'm guessing, ladies, please don't be upset with me. You appear to be the youngest in the room.
It's true.
You have so many options in life. Why are you standing in theater now? I realize that you had something, you know, earlier when you did the Ghost of Christmas Present.
Yeah.
But are you going to college? Are you, and again, I don't know your age. Are you, are your parents harassing you because you're spending your time doing this? You work with teenagers, which I want to get into in just a second.
Well, I am finished college. I went to UVA and studied drama there. And no harassment so far because I also have a full-time job. And the harassment kind of stopped when I got my own health insurance card.
Please, where did you get that? I'm looking.
Why do it? You know, because I don't really know. I get a really simple answer to the question would be I don't really know what I would do if I wasn't doing it. And that said, at this point, you're right. I have options. I have opportunity ahead of me, and maybe there will be more theatrical opportunities than fewer. I don't know at this point, at this juncture, where it will go. But at this time, it's something that I do take seriously and feel a great ownership in.
Well, it was a trick question because I wanted to get into how do you participate in theater, which goes on for weeks and weeks. I mean, you begin your practices weeks and months before the actual presentation. And how do you do that with a full-time job? Because I don't know how many people out of, Superior Donuts, Sean McCord standing here next to me, just finished at Live Arts. And Julie, I would expect you to have the answer, and Sean can probably tell me as well.
Right.
The number of people involved in putting together Superior Donuts.
Oh, my goodness. All of our shows at Live Arts are volunteer-driven. And so I'm not kidding when I say there were probably 100 people on Superior Donuts.
And 90 of them, 80 of them had full-time jobs?
Yes, I would say so.
And regular hours to volunteer to putting the project together, regular practices?
Are generally, there were probably, I believe you rehearsed 5 nights a week?
4 nights a week and Sundays.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. So, 5 rehearsals a week.
That's right.
And they're generally 4-hour rehearsals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then that would be the actors plus the director.
Right.
And
we had a cast of 9, 2 directors.
Yeah. You're right.
Manager.
This was special, right?
Yeah.
Right. And the stage manager. And sometimes there's an assistant stage manager that goes along with that, depending on how large the show is. And then on top of that, we have all the designers, the set designer, the lighting designer, the costume designer, the props designer. Sometimes there's someone called the dramaturg that helps us with research into the period, or if there's something very special about the production that needs heavy-duty research, or a new play, they help with creating the new play.
We had a dialogue coach.
Yes, a dialogue coach.
Fight coaches.
That's right. There was a fight coach on this.
Two of them.
That's right.
And a body movement specialist.
That is correct. And then also there is the set building crew. There is the costume crew, mm-hmm. Not only the designer, but stitchers, people who literally build the costumes.
And so, all of those people were there 5 times a week?
Oh, goodness, no.
For 4 hours?
No, but the actors and the directors and the stage managers, they do the most intense work day in and day out.
And I know Sean has a full-time job, and so even if we just limit it to the 9 actors and the, we'll say, 4 assistant directors and directors, mm-hmm. They're, you know, let's say 20 overall. That's 20 people devoting 5 hours or 5 days a week. I mean, it's fascinating to me that you do this with a full-time job and you do it once and then you choose to do it again.
It is because... Well, we'll ask Sean, but there is an incredible, not only satisfaction, but euphoria at when you do it well. It's an incredible feeling to be working with other people creating something out of basically nothing. Of course, there is a gorgeous script, which was made by blood, sweat, and tears by a playwright, and you are creating something in that moment. What do you think?
Well,
why do you do it?
I'm going to back up a minute. I've been involved with live arts for about the past year and a half since my son was in a play a couple of years ago, directed by Will Rucker. And we started, you know, I did some theater in college, but it's been a long time ago. We started hanging out more. We began ushering. My wife and I were ushering. We were coming in every night. And then when his show finished, I thought, I still want to be here.
Yeah.
So I joined the Playwrights Lab. And then over the past year, I was assistant stage manager for a show and then became stage manager for a show, as well as had the opportunity to write a piece that I saw directed and direct a piece. So, you know, you get kind of sucked in. Acting was brand new for me. I mean, I haven't acted really at all before, but I got pulled into it because the theater is such a welcoming, warming community, and you build a camaraderie with people. It's, you know, it's like having a family. Rick is raising his hand.
That's because it's 11:23, and we need to give you the markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. It's mostly sunny today, highs in the upper 50s, mostly cloudy tonight, lows about 41. And then tomorrow, partly sunny in the morning, mostly cloudy in the afternoon, highs 60 to 65. Right now, there's some clouds out there, but it's a nice day, 46 in the valley, 47 in Lynchburg, 41 in Richmond, 43 in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And thank you for continuing to listen to the Wake-Up Call here on WNRN. And a big thanks to Dixon Disposal for their support. When Dixon picks up your trash, they sort and separate it for recycling. Dixon also offers single-stream recycling during regular pickup. You can help the planet stay green with curbside service from Dixon Disposal at your home or business. For more information, it's DixonDisposal.com or 434-978-2111. Back to our guests today, Leslie Baskfield, Will Rucker, and Julie Hamburg, all from the Charlottesville Live Arts Theater. As we talk about theater as an overall topic, entertainment, what's upcoming with live arts. We were talking about the amount of work and effort that goes into participating and being a volunteer. Julie, as the artistic director at Live Arts Theater, how do you become a volunteer?
It's pretty darn easy. First, you can go to the website, which is livearts.org, and look on the tab that says Get Involved. and check things out there. Or you can stop by almost any Saturday where we'll be doing a build, which means we're making a set, and speak to any one of us who are there. Scott Dunn is our volunteer coordinator. He is fabulous and will help you along in any way he can. But basically, we give you a tour. We tell you what possibilities are available at Live Arts, or you can just give Scott a call, and he'll be happy to let you know what the opportunities are. Our number at Live Arts is 977-4177, and you can speak with Scott Dunn.
All right. Thanks for giving that little toss out there.
Yep.
We are talking about Live Arts Theater here in Charlottesville, Virginia. That was Julie Hamburg. She's the Live Arts Artistic Director. We have Will Rucker. He works with the Teens Latte Group, Live Arts Teen Theater Ensemble, directing currently, I believe, Pipe Dream. Is that ongoing at the moment?
Yeah. Just started, actually. This is not a pipe dream. We'll open February 3rd. Yeah.
I want to find out a little bit more about what it's like to work with teenagers in something where you have to show up all the time and on time. But we also have Leslie Basfield here from a group that participates with Live Arts called Melanin.
Yes.
And I want to learn more about that. Tell me what Melanin does. What's the mission?
The mission of Melanin is to find, grow, and publicize black artists, black theater in this community.
Why do we need a separate group? And I want to say subgroup, but you had a different phrase for it.
I'm not sure.
Okay. So I'm going to say subgroup again.
Okay.
You have a subgroup focusing on African-American black theater. Why do we need that? Can Live Arts Theater not do that on its own?
Live Arts in the past 20 years has done a good job of making sure that each of their seasons has a play that is written by a black playwright. The problem is that it's only one play a season. So it limits what the African-American artists in the community can participate in. And Live Arts is one of the only theaters that I know that has made that commitment to do that every single season. So as a black artist in this community, I was looking for things for me to do that I could really sink my teeth into. And I actually had a conversation with the executive director at Live Arts, Matt Jocelyn, after I did a show there called Intimate Apparel. And he wanted to know why there wasn't a bigger black audience for a play written by an African-American woman that won all of these different awards. The woman who wrote it, she's very well known in the theater world, yet the audiences we got were not predominantly African-American. And my first question to him was, well, where did you publicize? Did you send it to a church?
That's right.
Did you publicize where we are? And that got me thinking, and I got together with five of my friends who are also African-American, and I said, well, you know what? Why don't we start something? Like, we're always complaining that there's not enough for us to do, that, you know, when they cast a show that is traditionally cast with Caucasian actors and we don't get a shot to show what we can do, you know, we're all, you know, bent up about it. Well, you know what? Let's get off our butts and do it for ourselves. And when I took that back to Matt at Live Arts, he was like, that's an amazing idea. Let's do it.
And part of that works because at Live Arts Theater, there are two or three different theaters to actually have ongoing pieces being done, correct?
Yes.
And is that because, should we take a moment and tell me, you have two pieces, two different works going on at the moment?
Well, there's lots going on, actually, at Live Arts
actually,
right now.
Actually, for listeners to actually go buy a ticket and come see.
That's right.
During the next 2 weeks.
Right. We have the producers, which is the Mel Brooks Wacky Wild musical, is opening on December 9th. And we just had a reading by Melnin last night, a stage reading, an incredible piece by Tennessee Williams, Night of the Iguana. That happened last night. And we also have up in the Upstage, which is our smaller theater, a production of a one-woman show called Dirty Barbie, written and performed by Denise Stewart.
Oh, no, I like that.
Oh, my
the
God.
The name on that.
It's hysterical. Yeah.
Does that mean Ken does not...
Ken is definitely involved, yes.
There's where my $20 are going.
Yeah, there you go. And it actually sold out, I don't know, within the first week of the tickets going on sale, the first week. And so we have extended it to this coming week. So there are tickets available for that for this coming weekend, which is also when the producers opens. And we also have some auditions coming up, which I would love to talk about as well a little bit later on, about how people can get involved in actually acting in our productions. That would be great, too.
Now, back to Leslie Baskfield from Charlottesville's Live Arts Theater. We're talking about the subgroup Melanin, sort of focused on African-American pieces from African-American playwrights with roles for casting that need strictly African-Americans?
No. We have three different series that we're working on. So in each of our seasons, the first show will be written by an African-American and a predominantly African-American cast. The second show, which was Night of the Iguana that we just did, we're calling that our Reading Beyond the Lines series, where we take a classic piece that is well-recognized in the theater community, normally cast with predominantly Caucasian actors, and cast it with more actors with melanin in them, and see how that changes the story. How does that alter how you see the show? How does that inform the story differently than when it's been done with predominantly Caucasian actors?
So this is consciously using ethnicity as a lens through which to look at a story.
Exactly.
Which I think is brilliant.
Exactly.
Right. Love that.
11:32 on the Wake Up Call, as we talk about Live Arts Theater, we talk about theater production as a whole. I haven't given out the phone number because my list of questions is enormous. But if you'd like to call and ask your question that I haven't gotten around to, or make a comment on the topic and our guests, 979-0919. That's 979-0919. If you need the toll-free number, it's 877-WNRN-ROCKS, 877-WNRN-ROCKS. You can also send me an instant message at WNRN Studio on the AOL site. Back to Leslie Baskfield, as we talk about the group Melanin as part of Live Arts Theater. You're talking about, and I believe the phrase that I copied here was interpreting classic works through an African-American perspective.
Yes.
Give me an example when you talk about a well-known piece and then producing it through the lens of an ethnic community.
Well, last night was Night of the Iguana by Tennessee Williams. And Tennessee Williams is arguably one of the most important American playwrights. He's very well, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. he is perceived as one of the major American playwright voices in theater. And he was a Southern gentleman, so when we were looking at what we were going to do for the second show, I immediately said, I want to do a Williams play because everybody knows him. It's well recognized. And that's something we can really play with. And Clinton Johnston, who directed Night of the Iguana, immediately said, yes, let's do that, because his language, the way he writes, the way he speaks, automatically lends itself to the Black community. just the syntax in which he writes is something that African-American actors can get easily, more easily than Caucasian actors.
All right, so do me a favor. For the listening audience that might not be familiar with the typical more well-known theater pieces, give me an example, and you may hate me for this, give me an example of a well-known movie or a well-known book that might have characters in it that would be put together in a different manner by giving them an African-American. I mean, I'm thinking of, you know, silly stuff here, but I'm thinking of Superman. You know, it's something that a more wide-ranging audience that has had millions of people read it or see it or et cetera.
Well, let's see. Something that everybody has probably read in high school, Of Mice and Men.
See, there you go. You're going back to something that for so many people who might have been asked to read it, they bought their Cliff Notes.
Didn't read it.
And they have little memory of what it was.
Hmm.
I mean, Julie mentioned Pirates of Penzance, but then she took the time. She felt that she had to say, here's a brief, you know, a three-sentence description of what that was. What's a popular movie that you might have seen in the last 2 years, 3 years, 4 years?
Green Lantern.
Okay. Is that something that might be changed?
Definitely.
Changed by putting in African-American actors? And how? How would
because
that
if you know the actual history of the character, Green Lantern is supposed to be a black man. How about
great.
That?
That's wonderful.
Hal Jordan in the original comic was black.
Excellent.
Not that I don't like Ryan Reynolds. I mean, who doesn't like Ryan Reynolds? But great eye candy. But yeah,
That's what I wanted is to draw me and others to come see a melanin production or to think about, well, maybe not this time, but maybe next, to be intrigued by it beyond seeing it in my church bulletin as
right.
something to see.
Yeah. Right. And the other thing about melanin and theater in general is that it's all about word of mouth. You know, I mean, I had people... Our first reading was The Song for Coretta by Pearl Clegg. And I had women that came to see that show that I know for a fact had never set foot in live arts before. And they came to see it because they knew me. And they said, oh, you're doing that? That's great. Sure, I'd love to come out and see that. That's awesome. And those are people that... When I sent the notice out about Night of the Iguana, like, oh, it's only one night. I wish I could come. I've already made plans for that night. But let me know when your third one is, because I'll definitely put it on my calendar and be there.
Why would you only do that for one night?
We set it up as each reading being only one night because we're trying to get a feeling for how well it's going to work, how well... the idea stands up.
And how much audience will be drawn?
How much right? audience is there? How many artists are there?
Yeah.
Right.
Because my friends and I who started this, Ray Smith, Sharon Milner, Jared Ivory, David von Strawn, and myself, and Clinton Johnston, we know that there are artists in the area that can do this work, that want to do this work. But getting them in the building, you know, that's the test.
Excellent. Thank you. 11:39 here on the Wake Up Call as we talk about live arts theater, entertainment. And we're going to be getting into the Latte group. I want to talk about that, live arts teen theater ensemble and some of the productions that are upcoming. So don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, after many weeks of fighting power through protests in the park, the Occupy Charlottesville movement has been asked to move. Most local Virginia lawmakers continuously fail to express interest in repealing the secrecy law that aided the financial problems involving Biscuit Run. and more information on the future of Charlottesville's City Market. The Hook. You've got to read this. And support for WNRN also comes from Blue Ridge Mountain Sports, where your happiness is their priority. At Blue Ridge, you can return gear and apparel purchases at any time for any reason. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is at Barracks Road in Charlottesville, three locations in Richmond, and for more store information, it's brms.com. And as you probably know, tune in at noon for WNRN's Les Temps Purdue with Drew Thompson. Drew will be featuring the best in 80s and 90s alternative with bands like the Go-Go's, the Smiths, and Nine Inch Nails. And Drew likes requests. Les Temps Purdue brought to you in part by Caliente. And let me take a moment and tell everybody this. WNRN and The Wake Up Call are looking for a second producer for the show. If you have interest in the program, you're available to work occasional Sundays, and have a basic ability with computers, we can teach you the rest. You can email me at rmoore@wnrn.org or just stop by the station. All right, back to our guests, Will Rucker, Julie Hamburg, and Leslie Baskfield, as we talk with those three from Charlottesville's Live Arts Theater. Well, real quick, or not too quick, but live arts theater, teen theater ensemble, strictly teenagers.
I would say strictly geared toward teenagers. However, there certainly can be and has been the role that's just right for whatever reason to bring in an adult or someone younger than a teenager. So, sort of, we go into them. I go into, you know, the projects I've worked on. I go into sort of certainly hoping to give the teenage artists in the community an opportunity to get on stage and do something that's a little higher caliber or more professional than sort of the homemade school play.
What are some? Give me an example of some of the things that you have done at Latte, and maybe one or two of the productions that are upcoming.
Yeah, well, I myself have worked on Jason Robert Brown's 13 the Musical, which was two summer before last. That was a great show. That was sort of a big summer main stage thing with lots of actors. And then last year we had tremendous success with a sold out run of The Giver, which is a novel lots and lots of people recognized from having read it as required reading in high school or middle school. It's a book by Lois Lowry. And right now, I'm working on a play called This Is Not a Pipe Dream.
And what's that?
Well, it's
a little background work for those who might be interested in taking their child or buying them a ticket or et cetera.
Yeah, it's it is certainly worth buying a ticket. I can promise you that. And that's about all I can promise about it right now. We just started rehearsal. That show is so sort of multifaceted. It's kind of this modern day minstrel show interpretation of the life of the surrealist painter René Magritte.
and how do you, can you describe what one of Magritte's paintings, in case people have seen
those? Yeah, lots of you probably know who he is without knowing his name.
Exactly.
He's the guy, he is the painter who does the men in bowler hats with the apple in front of his face. He's also famous for his painting of the smoking pipe that underneath it has the words, "This is not a pipe."
But you've acted and are now directing. First directing job? No?
No. This is my third directing gig at Live Arts.
What's the difference between being an actor and being the director?
Great question.
Yeah, really.
Go for it.
I almost knocked Leslie out of her chair.
Well, I'd say that the hardest part, or I don't know, I think what always stands out to me when I'm in the directing chair is how frustrating it must be for an actor to have to listen to the director, knowing that they're the one that are going to eventually be the ones on stage held accountable for it. I think a lot of people don't know what the director does.
So what does a director do, Will?
Well, thank you, Julie.
There you go. that.
So I think that directing can take many roles. There's certainly sort of those who practice a heavy-handed sort of dictatorship in the rehearsal room, and then there's those who I try to kind of fancy myself among the ranks of, who kind of guide a rehearsal process, pick a core group of actors or an ensemble of actors and sort of explore the script together, finding images and finding ways that we can all tell the same story in a way that tells the story the playwright wrote as well as the story we all kind of carry with us and need to express on the stage.
Julie, as someone who works with all groups and all participants, whether they're doing Sean, what was you called them, the fight coordinator, and or someone who's doing the word escapes me, but who's doing the costumes?
That's right, the costume designer. Yeah,
doing the background art, doing the director, doing the actors. Are there specific skills that someone who has them but can't envision themselves working at Live Arts, that's a hobby, that's something that I do all the time, maybe that would be cool to be behind the scene or
absolutely
on the stage, et cetera?
Yeah, because I think about this a lot, because there are a lot of things that that you might be good at in your regular life that would transfer beautifully to theater. And we have a lot of people who do that. Even if you're not incredibly creative, if you think, oh, gosh, I'm not creative, how could I be in theater? you could still be part of a team. If you're incredibly organized, you might be a wonderful stage manager. The stage manager is the person who keeps us on during rehearsal.
Let me add to that, because we had a wonderful stage manager for Superior Donuts. She had never done this before. It came at just the right time in her life when she was between jobs. And she had a doctorate in abnormal psychology, which I think
was perfect.
Was perfect, yes. Was helped her with this. Alex was wonderful. She was terribly well organized. And you know, once the show got running, Rick, you have the difference between the actors and the directors. The actors have to be there every night.
That's right.
Once the show gets running, the director doesn't have to. We're really in the hands of the stage manager. The other big difference, of course, is that at the end of the show, the actors get to go out and get applause.
Right. And the director does not.
Right.
That's right.
Julie, a personal question to you, because we've talked about how Live Arts here in Charlottesville, and I want to mention the Central Virginia Theater Project, we'll get into in a moment or two, but Live Arts is so dependent on the community. You can have all the volunteers that you want to come and participate in a production, but I would assume that it gets kind of boring if no one's in the seats enjoying what you're doing. And the community, not everyone who's listening may not recognize that it is their friends and neighbors and coworkers who are on the other side of the seats participating.
Right.
So there's this continuity that goes from piece to piece and an electric connection between. But you've come from New York City. You've been to New Orleans. You're new here in your role as the artistic director.
Right.
I mentioned continuity. How long before you leave? You've come to Charlottesville, and you leave, and we have to do this again and find someone else with a different personality to make all these connections.
Well, I was in New York for about 18 years, learned an incredible amount, did a lot of theater, produced, directed, and also ran a theater down in New Orleans. I'm so incredibly thrilled to now be in Charlottesville. Yes, I came in September, began September 1, and I'm learning all I can about the community here and the people, and all of Central Virginia, actually. But my commitment, it was a big decision to become artistic director here at Live Arts. But when I found out what an incredibly vibrant theater community it was, or it is here in Charlottesville, and the passionate people who help make Live Arts what it is, and the almost professional quality, I would say, that live arts productions are. I wanted to make this my home theater, and I have told the board that did a national search to find me. They took a long time to do it, to find the right match, I guess. I made the commitment that I would be here for 10 years.
Good grief, really?
Good grief. They might not want me for 10 years.
I say that Charlottesville is the black hole. Wouldn't you say you...
Yeah. Actually, everybody told me that when I was here for my interview time. And I went through a four-day interview process. It was pretty wild. Because it's a volunteer theater and a nonprofit, there was a long and... as well there should have been, process of meeting people to make sure that I would be a good fit. Anyway, I made a large commitment. A theater may not want to have an artistic director for that long, depending on how that fit is. But I am here and in intensely excited about all that can and will be happening at Live Arts, because I think some change is coming. And one of those things is, just as Leslie had said, making sure that we have a really broad embrace of all of the community, including artists of color. That's really, really important to me. And so making sure that Melanin keeps going is one of my priorities.
You know, when I was doing my homework for the program, Live Arts Theater was listed as one of the 50 things to enjoy about Charlottesville.
There you go. And yeah. I would completely agree. I think it's unique and one of the gems. I'm a little biased, I would have to say. But one of the gems of Charlottesville.
Let me take a moment and thank The Backyard for their support of WNRN. It's the UVA Corner's culinary secret at the end of Elliewood Avenue. The Backyard has a seasonal menu, daily specials, and a rotating list of beers on tap. The Backyard is now open on Sundays, serving brunch and then a pub food menu until close. For more information, it's 202-8215. You can find them at thebackyarduva.com or on their Facebook page. Again, 11:52 here on the Wake Up Call, finishing up our hour with Julie Hamburg, Will Rucker, Leslie Baskfield, talking about theater. They all are here representing the Live Arts Theater here in the Charlottesville area. What's it like having a partially finished hotel next to your station? Not exactly the most aesthetically pleasing. Can't you get people out there to sort of cover that up?
Yeah, we're working at it. I keep thinking that we need to do a site-specific piece
over
there.
That's what I was just about to say.
Ooh,
right.
That would be very cool.
It would be very, very cool. I don't know if we can get the permits to do that. But
that would be one of those, like, pop-up restaurants?
That's mm-hmm. right. Something. Something's got to – groovy's got to happen over there, or we've got to tear it down. Something's
we do
gotta
have
happen.
To make it groovy. You're right.
That's right. Something.
Let's talk about some of that. We've sort of touched on a couple of the pieces that are coming up. And I want to get into that as we finish up. But one of the challenges, again, we were talking about theater, is getting people in Lynchburg or Richmond or Harrisonburg or Stanton-Waynesboro to go to theater. They may not want to drive the hour or so
Absolutely.
To Charlottesville. And I was we were talking about competition earlier. And you mentioned how things sort of band together in the theater. But you've also done that not just on stage with your own performers, your own volunteers, but you've done that as a genre here in the Charlottesville, Central Virginia area.
That's right. Back in the spring of 2010, 12 producing theaters from Albemarle, I can never say that right, Nelson, Greene, Louisa, and Orange counties.
You have 10 years.
Yeah, it's going to take me a little while, but hopefully I'll get it down. We all got together and formed a support organization called the Central Virginia Theater Alliance, and we are open to any theater that wants to join us. And basically, we want to share resources and help each other make sure that we are a healthy theater, theater environment. And so those different theaters are the Bent Theater, Performers Exchange Project. Both of those are in Charlottesville. But we also have the Hamner Theater, and that's out in Nelson County, this gorgeous little theater that right now they have The Homecoming, a Nelson County Christmas Story, which is up right now, which I think is an annual event, and that,
yeah,
that runs through December 18th. A gorgeous thing. I think they have two casts, a cast of thousands, I believe, but seriously, it's a major event out there, and really fun. So out in Nelson County, you should definitely check out the Hamner Theater. In town here, there's also Play On, which is on 2nd Street Southeast. They're doing Death Trap. That's up right now also through December 18th.
Is that 18th. Agatha Christie?
I think it is Agatha Christie. I know it's a – you got it, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. I know it's a mystery. Also, UVA Department of Theater and Dance is part of the Central Virginia Theater Alliance, wonderful part of us. And they've got a show up right now, but I think it's sold out. Live Arts, of course. Offstage Theater, they do site-specific work. They're known for doing plays in bars and other intriguing spaces. Our Piedmont Valley Community College Theater, PVCC, does a lot of work at their space. Also, Four County Players out in Barbersville, lovely theater that does a lot of work.
Let me interrupt for just a second.
Yeah.
You know, you've got these, you know, not to take away, but the Heritage Theater, the Wayne Theater Alliance, Whole Theater. So we have a lot of Charlottesville. We have one from Nelson County. Are there the Richmond places? Are there any Harrisonburg places, et cetera?
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned before we started that you had participated in a couple other non-Albemarle sites.
Yeah.
Well, participated in the most important way that we talked about earlier as an audience member.
Yeah.
And that is there's this great theater in Richmond right now. The Firehouse Theater Project is doing really cool stuff. And they have something up right now, or maybe it just closed. I don't remember. But you've also got really cool people really taking an interest in this area. Jeff Kirshner is an artist based in Florida who's running the Blue Ridge Summer Theater Festival out of Sweetbriar College. So every year there's actually, you know, Shakespeare in Amherst County. That's where I grew up, and I can assure you it's a new thing.
To have theater there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And outdoor theater. I mean, so I think there's a lot of interest growing. I think Central Virginia is really embracing itself as a kind of cultural hub, and people are into it, you know?
All right, cool. Because I think that's one of the things that you need to remind people who've stayed with us for the hour is they don't have to set their you know, clock by when is the next live arts theater program and what day can I drive an hour there and an hour
absolutely.
Back.
Absolutely. They should just look in their newspaper. There is theater going on in your town right now.
This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg, 11:58 as we finish up our time with Leslie, Will, and Julie from Charlottesville's Live Arts Theater. One by one, and Leslie, I'll give you the first shot.
Okay.
You're participating. Talk about the period, the piece that's going on now, and what is upcoming.
Well, None of the Iguana was last night, only one night, so we're done with that one. We have auditions for our Black History piece called From Bondage to Promise, actually tonight and tomorrow at Live Arts. And then after that, on April 1, we have auditions for our third staged reading called Oak and Ivy, written by Paul Lawrence Dunbar, directed by Jared Ivory.
All right.
That will go up May 12th.
All right. We only got a minute left.
I've got This Is Not a Pipe Dream opening February 3rd. Come see that. The next latte show is in the summer. So the summer musical is Hairspray.
And that's for the teen group.
Yeah. But they're going to need help. But there's a huge cast.
Yeah. All right. And Julie?
And we have auditions for A Flea in Her Ear, which will be happening Sunday and Monday, December 11th and 12th. And Producers opens December 9th and runs through January 14th. That's the big, huge crazy musical comedy with, I don't know, 23 beautiful singers, dancers, performers.
And that's livearts.org.
That is correct.
And you can not just go and learn more about, but you can also purchase tickets online.
Yes, please do.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Again, that's Julie Hamburg. She's the Live Arts Artistic Director. We heard from Will Rucker. He's a director of This Is Not a Pipe Dream, working with the teenage group at the Live Arts Teen Theater Ensemble. And Leslie Baskfield, she's a member of the Melanin group within Live Arts Theater, doing work with the African-American community, pieces both written and performed in the African-American perspective.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much. Next week, you make sure to save this, because next week we'll have a gentleman, Dr. I'm going to forget his name, 99 years old. He's coming in. He's 99 years old. We're going to talk about life as viewed through the perspective of a 99-year-old man. All right. Drew Thompson up next. Lex Temps Purdue.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@AOL.com or at wakeupcall@WNRN.org. The wake-up call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.